My message today will be taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. I'll be speaking from Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. Now, I have a simple title, very simple title, but the message is one of the most important truths that you can hear. The subject today is faith is looking to Jesus. Very simple. But that's the heart and essence of faith. It's looking to Christ Jesus. Now, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, begins with these words. Wherefore, seeing that we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, notice each word. So great a cloud of witnesses. The word great is used for their number. Never think of anything relating to the kingdom of God in small numbers. In the scriptures, it talks about 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands. It talks about a number which no man can number. It talks about a people out of every tribe and kindred and nation and tongue under heaven. So great a cloud of witnesses. And then it says a cloud. Wherefore, brethren, seeing that we're compassed about with so great a cloud, they're above us. They're not here on the earth around us, but they're above us. They're heavenly witnesses. Paul's been talking about them in the preceding chapter, chapter 11, this great cloud of witnesses. They're heavenly witnesses. And in chapter 11, he talks about Abel. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. He talks about Enoch. By faith, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. He had this testimony that he pleased God. He talks about Noah. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. He talks about Sarah, how that she conceived and bore a child in her old age. By faith. He talks about Moses. By faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. On and on and on. In chapter 11, the Apostle Paul talks about these great people of faith. People who believed God. People who received the promises. People who were persuaded of the promises. And people who embraced the promises. And who died in faith. So when he comes to chapter 12, now that's the 11th chapter, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Moses, David, all of these great men of faith who believed God. And he says that they are witnesses, a cloud, so great a cloud of witnesses. In other words, these glorified believers of other generations are in heaven. In the presence of God. And they're witnesses. But they're not watching us. They're not witnessing our activities or looking on our activities. They're His witnesses. This great cloud of witnesses are His witnesses. They're witnesses of the grace of God and of the goodness of God and of the glory of God. And what is a witness? Well, a witness is one who has seen and heard and experienced a fact. And all of these who embraced the promises and believed God and died in faith, they're witnesses, first of all, of the faithfulness of God. And they're witnesses of the fullness of His divine love. And they're witnesses of the sufficiency of His blood. And they're witnesses of the victory of faith. It's like Paul said, thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Their life on earth is over. And they have folded up this frail tent. And they've gone to be with God. They've entered into the presence of the Lord. And they have received that dwelling place and that building not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And those are the people he's talking about. He says, wherefore, brethren, seeing that we're compassed about was so great, innumerable. God told Abraham, as the stars of the skies, the sands of the seashore, innumerable company of believers, great cloud of witnesses. They're not witnessing what we're doing. They're not watching us. They're not interested in things here. They're with God in the presence of the Lord. But they're witnesses of His faithfulness, of His love, of His grace, of His goodness, and of the victory of faith. But now, we're still on this earth. We're walking on this earth. We're encompassed about and encircled with this great cloud of witnesses. But he goes on, he says, wherefore, seeing that we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us, who are still on this earth, let us lay aside every weight. Every weight. What's he talking about? Well, Paul is using here as an illustration a man runners running a race. Running a race. And he said, now, to run this race, you got to lay aside every weight. Got to lay aside every hindrance that would keep you from running a good race. And every hindrance and every association and every companion and every interest which interferes with your fellowship with God and your walking with God, lay those things aside. You see, when people are running a race, when men are running in a race, they don't wear boots, and they don't wear overcoats, and they don't carry burdens on their backs. They put off all these things that would hinder them, that would keep them from giving their best, doing their best, running their best. And that's what he's talking about here. Let us, who are on this earth, still in this race, still in this walk, still in this life of faith, let's lay aside those things that hinder our fellowship with God and hinder our walk with God. It's like one writer said one time, he that would avoid the flu, he that would avoid the flu must not run around with people who have the flu. So that's what he's talking about. Let's lay aside every weight, every weight. And what's the second thing he says? And let us lay aside the sin which does so easily beset us. The sin which does so easily beset us. Now, some writers believe that Paul's talking there about personal weakness or some particular infirmity that an individual has. Let's lay aside the sin which does so easily beset us. But I don't think he's talking about personal weaknesses at all. I believe he's talking about the sin which is a problem to everybody. What is the sin that would be a problem for every human being, every believer, no matter male or female, old or young, rich or poor, learned or ignorant, whomever? What would be the sin? Let us lay aside the sin. I'll tell you what it is. It's lack of faith. It's unbelief. That's the sin which does so easily beset all of us. You know, the apostle said to the Lord Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. The Roman centurion said, Lord, I do believe, but help thou mine unbelief. He's talking about that sin. And I think I can make good on that. What is the preceding chapter about? It's about faith. Abel by faith, Noah by faith, Enoch by faith, Abraham by faith, talking about faith. That's what the preceding chapter is all about. What is the one mark of everybody listed in that chapter? The one distinguishing characteristic, faith. What brought each one of them the victory? Faith, believing God. What kept the others out of the land of Canaan? Unbelief. And the scripture says, if you can believe, all things are possible to them who believe. The scripture says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. The scripture says, take heed, brethren, lest there be found in you an evil heart of unbelief. The scripture says, he that believeth on the Son hath life, and he that believeth not shall not see life. So what would this sin be? It would be the sin of unbelief. Take heed, brethren, lest there be found in you an evil heart of unbelief. So, wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with so great, innumerable company of witnesses. Let's lay aside all these weights and hindrances and associations and companions and habits and things like that that would hinder us running a good race, walking with God, walking the walk of faith. And let's especially lay aside the sin which does so easily beset us, which comes so naturally, and that is the sin of unbelief. And then he says, and let us run with patience. The race is set before us. This race is my race. This course is my course. It's my life on this earth. Paul described it in Acts 20. He said, none of the difficulties of life, none of the trials of life move me, disturb me. Neither count I this life, this human life, overly important, so that I may finish my race, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord. Lay aside every weight, and especially that sin of unbelief which does so easily beset us, and let's run our own race that's set before me. Who set it before me? God gave it to me. God gave me this life. God gave me this course to run. God gave me this responsibility that I have. God gave me this particular task that He's laid into my hand. God gave me this family. God gave me my children. God gave me those things. This is my course that He set for me. Now, let's run it with patience. With patience. Does the way seem hard sometimes? Well, he said, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. It was hard for Paul. But God told him, he said, my grace is sufficient. Does the course sometimes seem lonely? He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always. Does the way seem mysterious and perplexing? It does to me, doesn't it to you? Perplexing, mysterious. Well, God moves in mysterious ways, His wonders to perform. Plants His footsteps on the sea and rides upon the storm. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust Him for His power. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Run this race with patience. Does the way bring trials and tears? Of course it will. Of course it does. But we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, who are the called according to His purpose. Hebrews 10, Paul cautions us. Listen, he says, run this race with patience now. Wait on God. David said one time, he said, I would have fainted had I not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. But Paul says in Hebrews 10, cast not away your faith. Cast not away your confidence in Him. Faith has great recompense of reward. You have need of patience. Yet a little while, and He'll come. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, any man resigns, quits the race, and falls out, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we're not of them who draw back under condemnation. We're of them who believe to the saving of the soul. Do I still have your attention? I hope so. Listen, wherefore seeing we're encircled with so great a cloud of witnesses, those who've gone before, those who've proven the goodness of God, great cloud of witnesses. Let's lay aside every weight and especially the sin of unbelief which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us. Now here's the root of the whole matter. Verse 2. Here's the root of the whole matter. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus Christ our Lord, who's the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him. What's that joy? To redeem a people. To save His people from their sins. Who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, the death of the cross, the suffering of the cross, the agony of the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of God, looking to Jesus. Well, we don't look to the Lord Jesus with his natural eyes, do we? Of course not. We've never seen him with the natural eyes, but we look to him with our faith. And he's the object of our faith. We see him. Yeah, we do see him. The Bible keeps saying over and over, he that seeth the Son and believeth on him. He that seeth the Son and believeth on him. Well, we see him in the promises of Scripture. We see him in the flesh as our representative when he walked this earth. We see that, the testimony and the record God's given us in the Word. We see him on the cross as our substitute. We see him risen from the tomb as our justifier. We see him on the right hand of God as our mediator. Yes, we do see him by faith. And looking unto him, we look to Christ. He's not only the object of our faith, he's the author and finisher of our faith. What does that mean, the author? Well, a person who's the author of a book, the book was planned by him and proposed by him and written by him. He's the author of the book. He's the beginning and end. And our salvation, our faith, Christ is the author. He's the author and finisher. He said, I'm the Alpha and Omega. That's the beginning and the end. He said, I'm the first and the last. He planned our salvation. Planned it in grace and mercy before the world began. The covenant of grace, everlasting covenant. He planned it. Chose us, loved us with an everlasting love. He executed our salvation. He came down to this earth. He grew up as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. A root out of a dry ground, as a tender plant. And he was despised and rejected of men. And he went to the cross and bore our sins in his body on the tree. He executed salvation. He accomplished it. And he applied it. He called us by his grace. And he sustains it. We're kept by the power of God through faith. And he will perfect it. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise. So, looking unto Jesus, he's the object of faith. He's the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross and despised the shame, for it became him. It became him. For whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons and daughters unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Now then, verse 4 says, and consider him. And consider him. And let us not be weary and discouraged in well-doing and faint in our minds. Look to Christ. Look to Christ. This is the whole of faith. Looking to Jesus is the whole of faith. You can read a dozen books on the subject of faith, and you'll find that faith comes down to three words. Looking unto Jesus. That's right. That's the whole of faith. Looking to Christ. Looking to Christ as the object of faith, as the author and finisher of faith. This is the whole of acceptance with God. 1 John 5:11 says, this is the record. God has given us eternal life. This life's in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life. This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. You see, looking to Christ, that's the whole of faith. And that's the whole of acceptance with God. And that's the whole of spiritual life. I'm come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Listen to this scripture. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. The whole of spiritual life is in Christ, through Christ, by Christ, and for the glory of Christ. It's to know him. That's what he said in John 17. Eternal life is to know God. And Jesus Christ, whom he hath sent, to know him. And this is the whole of hope, is looking to Christ. You want a thesis on hope? It won't take three or four pages. You want a thesis on hope? Here it is, three words. Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. That's the hope of glory. That's the essence of life. That's all in acceptance with God. That's the whole of spiritual life. That's the hope of heaven. And that's the whole of heaven, is looking to Christ. I go to prepare a place for you. I go and prepare a place for you. I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also, looking to Jesus. All right, let me close with this. Wherefore, brethren, seeing that we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, that's those who've gone before, those who witness, a witness to God's grace and love and mercy and goodness and faithfulness and victory in Christ. Let's lay aside every weight, every hindrance, especially the sin of unbelief, lay it aside, and run with patience and commitment and perseverance our particular race, the race set before us, given us by God, looking to Jesus, looking to Him. He's the object of faith, the sole object. He's the author and finisher of faith. He is the author and finisher of our salvation. He is our salvation. He is our hope of life. He is our heaven. So looking to Christ and not to how much faith I have. Now, you don't want to look to your faith. You want to look in. You want to look out. You want to look up. You want to look to Him. Faith is looking to Christ, not looking to my faith. It's not faith that saves. It's Christ that saves. It's not faith that died for me. It's Christ that died for me. So whether I have little faith or great faith or much faith or not much faith, that's not the issue. It's in whom. It's whom do I believe? That's it. You see, I know whom I believe. So look to Him, not to your faith. And then it's looking to Jesus and not to my prayers. And not to my worship, not to my meditations. It's looking to Christ. Now we do pray and we do meditate, we do worship God. But I don't look to those things for comfort or for confidence or for assurance. I look to Him. He's my salvation. And then it's looking to Christ and not to the name I wear. I don't know about all these names that identify us in this day. Christians is a pretty good name. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. But it's not the name I wear. It's not the doctrines I hold. It's what I believe depends on whom I believe. Now you write that down. What I believe depends on whom I believe. Paul didn't say, I know what I believe. He said, I know whom. He didn't even say, I know when I believe. He said, I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded He's able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. It's looking to Jesus and not to the law. I love God's law. I delight in God's law. And I know all who believe delight in God's law. David said he delighted in God's law. But the law commands, but it doesn't give any strength to obey. And the law wounds, but it never heals. The law condemns, but it never comforts. Christ is our strength. He's our righteousness. He's our comfort. So this faith is looking to Christ, not to the law. And it's looking to Christ and not to His mother. It's looking to Christ and not to His disciples, not St. Peter, St. Paul, St. John, or St. Jude. It's looking to Christ and not any of His apostles. There's one God, one mediator between God and me and the man Christ Jesus. Faith is looking to Jesus and not to our brethren. Not the worst of them or the best of them. That's right, not to the best of them, not to the worst of them. You know, when Paul described true believers, he said true believers are those who worship God in the Spirit and who rejoice in Christ Jesus and who have no confidence in this flesh. We don't have any confidence in our own flesh or anybody else's flesh. Folks always said, well, there's hypocrites in the church. Sure, there is in every profession, in every organization. But I'm not looking to my brethren. I'm looking to Christ. He's perfect. You can find fault with the church members, but you can't find any fault with our Lord. It's looking to Christ and not to my brethren. Faith is looking to Christ and not to my own strength or my weakness. If I have any strength at all, it's not mine, it's His. If I have any gifts that are not mine, they're God-given. If I have any knowledge, He gave it to me. So it's not looking to my strength. I hope to grow in grace, but growth. I'm not looking to my growth. I'm looking to Christ. Looking to Christ. And not to my weakness. Actually, when I'm really, truly weak, that's when I'm strong. That's what Paul said. When I'm weak, then am I strong. It's looking to Jesus and not to my works. Not to my preaching, not to my singing, not to my witnessing, not to my writing. Looking to Christ, not to my works. You know, some of these people are going to hold on to their works till they get to the judgment. You hear them saying, Lord, we preached. We did many wonderful works. We cast out devils. He said, I never knew you. If they'd looked to Him instead of those works, He would have owned them. It's looking to Christ. When? Yesterday, today, tomorrow, and forever. Never stop looking. Never stop coming to Christ. Never stop trusting. Never stop depending. Never stop looking to Him and Him alone. It's looking to Jesus. Compass the bound. So great a cloud of witness. Let's lay aside these weights, especially unbelief. Let's run with patience the race set before us. Looking to Jesus. Looking to Jesus. And when clouds of death around me roll, and when His angels come for my soul, no need to remind me of this special grace, because then I'll be looking to Jesus face to face. Till then, look to Jesus. That's faith. It's looking to Christ. If you want this message, write for us. Send $2. We'll mail it to you. Till next week, may God bless you.